Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here on the line with us is Mary Ann Williams. Y'all know her very well around the table as Mama. Mama, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, and good evening also to my PRF family and visitors, thanking you and appreciating you being able to join with us tonight. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you. We always appreciate that. You know, it's not just myself, Mama. We also have Adia Sanders. And tonight,
we're always
excited when we have guests on the PRF table. So
yes.
Some point in time throughout these 30 minutes, we will have somebody, none other than one called Vera Moody. Those of you who've been watching on Facebook or have been on the PRF table before know that she's been on here as we dealt with poverty and wealth. And so we want to have a conversation tonight. Matter of fact, not just a conversation, but a dialogue. We want to have this type of dialogue because tonight we're talking about financial freedom ain't free. And this is not just what we're going to be talking about tonight, but we will be talking about financial freedom ain't free. I know that's not good Dr. English, Mama, Adia, but I say it like I say it. Y'all know my heart. Y'all know my heart. So listen, we're going to get into the show. So if some of y'all are watching us on Facebook, and you hear Mom in the background, so praise God. We praise God for Holy Temple Christian Church that has just joined us on Facebook Live. And listen, we're encouraging everybody. We're encouraging you who are on Facebook. If you have a question or a comment, we want you to post it. We want to read your comments. This is not about us. This is about God. And the second thing I'll say, if you're listening to us online, not on Facebook, not on our website, but if you're listening to us online and you want to jump into the conversation, there's a way to do that. So you can also be live on the air. That number is 347-215-7934. We also have the wonderful Shatara Sherwood watching. God bless you. She is part of this PRF family. And also we got Reverend Tamara Winbush listening and watching us all the way from Little Rock, Arkansas. So listen, Mama, here's where we at. And Adia,
yeah.
I'm going to say it. You know, Adia, she's listening right now. And so all I'm going to say is if you want to jump in here, we know we call Adia the firecracker of the crew.
yes.
I know we just had 4th of July yesterday, Independence Day. A lot of people pop fireworks and firecrackers and all that kind of stuff. So we haven't heard Adia go off in a while. So I just know with Vera Moody being with us that she will definitely be one that will probably – get her started. And so we want to welcome Sister Vera Moody to the PRF table. Good evening, Sister Moody. How are you? And God bless you for being with us today. Now, somehow she's trying to be gun shy. Is she trying to be gun shy with us, Mama?
I don't know.
All right, well, we're going to wait for her to come. She's going to have to signal at some point. So listen, what we're talking about is financial freedom ain't free. That's the conversation that we're talking from tonight. And here's what I want us to talk about. I want us to talk about what does it mean to be financially free. There's so many people that are walking around here. I said this the other day, Mama, but I think it's relative to the conversation tonight. There's a lot of people walking around in bondage, and particularly in financial bondage. And it's not like we don't know this thing. It's not like we don't know that this is not occurring. But yet, as people are walking around in financial bondage, the question is, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing as believers? What are we doing as the body of Christ to deal with this? And so, you know, we have a couple of thoughts, and I want to kind of set the stage a little bit on this whole notion of being financially free. And I mentioned this the other day, and I guess I'll read it. It comes out of the book of John, chapter 8, verse 36, and it says, So he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Mama, that's a powerful scripture. That's coming from the Master.
Yes.
That's coming from Christ. And so there's so many people on Sunday after Sunday. I'm going here until Vera Moody stops me and slows me down. Bishop Kelly, God bless you. Good to see you. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so I just have to believe, and this is my Christianity coming out, or my stance on being a believer. When we come to Christ, I mean, help me out, Mom. You've been in this thing longer than I have. But when we come to Christ, there's a freedom that is supposed to be there. If I'm coming to Christ and still in bondage, then that's really not a Christ that I want to serve.
Yes.
Who wants to serve a God that when you tell me, come over here and it's better on this side of things, and then I get there and it's crap? I got a problem with you, Jack, because you got me into this, and then I got a problem with this God you're talking about. And so when I think about it, it's like this for me. Hold on. Let's just wait a minute. Let's just wait a minute and say, okay, well, maybe it's not – some people are not free because they haven't taught how to be free. Maybe some people are not free because their mindset is not in a place of being free. Maybe some people are not free because they haven't done the work in order to be free. Mama, have you ever heard a quote by Harriet Tubman, or is attributed to Harriet Tubman, and it goes something like this. I freed 1,000 slaves, but I could have freed 1,000 more if they knew they were slaves. And a lot of times people don't know that they're in financial bondage. They don't look at it like that. They don't walk around talking about, I'm in financial bondage. They don't walk out of church talking about, I'm in financial bondage. Nah, that's not how people walk around here. But when you see and you start looking at the fruit, matter of fact, you said you could tell a tree by the fruit that it bears. And so when I start looking at fruit, and I can definitely be a fruit inspector, I definitely can be one of those, Mama. When I'm looking at the fruit, because see, you put it out there, you out there talking about you the tree, right? So you say you the tree. I'm looking at the fruit that's being produced. And so we see so much poverty, we see so much despair. And we know, because we see all of this, that there is a better way. There's a better way. And I'm just crazy enough in God to believe that there's a desire from the God that we serve for so many of his people, so many of his children, not mine, his children, to be financially free. But listen, we got to do it his way.
Yes.
We got to do it his way. This is not one of these things where it just happens just because it happens. It's some things that we got to do. And I want to encourage everybody that's watching. God bless you, Minister Smith, Brother Roderick. Good to see you, my friend. I'm missing you. I just want to believe that the God that I serve is in this place of saying, listen, if you just get yourselves positioned. And what that means is, Mom, it doesn't mean that you get 100%. You know what it means? It means if everybody that's watching us on Facebook Live right now, Mama, everybody's watching us on Facebook Live, if we decide to do a Luke 9:62, Mama, do you know what that is? Luke 9:62, he who puts his hand to the plow and does not turn back, he who puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom. So we say, you know what, we're going to put our hand to the plow and we're going to go after this poverty thing with all of our mind, our soul, our strength, and all of our being to make sure we can do everything we can, especially as ministers of the gospel, to help as many people we can help to get out of this crazy thing called poverty that so many people really, I don't believe, should actually be living in today's time. So listen, listen, if you're watching us and you want to join in, if you want to get on Facebook Live with us, please just let me know. We're going to bring in Sister Moody because she's ready, Mama. And I don't know.
Okay.
I know she's ready, but I don't know if she's ready for her. And so we want to welcome to the show Sister Vera Moody, Evangelist Vera Moody of the Moody Insurance Group. She's not just some insurance salesman, y'all. I'm telling you, she's the president of this thing. So she's in my hometown of Philadelphia doing some real good things. We connected with her earlier this year, and she was gracious to be with us during one of our legacy conferences that we had in Philadelphia at New Beginning Church of Philadelphia, where Pastor Michael, Reverend Dr. Michael D. Couch, is the pastor there. And so we just formed this relationship, and now here we are again. So, Sister Moody.
Good evening, Dr. Dunlap. Good evening, Mama.
Good evening, Sister Moody.
How are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
Good evening, Dr. Dunlap.
Good evening. Listen, we gave you some introduction. We ready for you to hit it because, see, folk get tired of hearing my mouth sometimes. So I'm going, you know how it is. You bring daddy in. Daddy's a little bit too hard and too rough, and daddy's like, look, you go ahead and take your clothes off. I'm about to whip that button. And, you know, then they want mama to come in there because mama's a little bit more nice. So we're going to let mama come in there. You know, the mama come in there. But, you know, folk don't know you like I know. So I guess they're gonna be asking for me in a while, so we're going to go ahead and put it out there. They're going to ask for me in a while. So listen. My sister, talk to us. What does it mean? Tell us, what does it mean to be financially free? What's your thoughts on how this thing should be looking, especially among us as believers?
Financially free would just really take us back to the garden. I mean, honestly, when the Lord gave us a place of that we called home, He gave us provision. We owed no one. So my concept of being financially free would be being spiritually free. Okay, that's number one. Your soul must prosper. It has to prosper in order for you to be free spiritually. Financially free, meaning, you know, honestly, being able to pay down your home in within 10 to 15 years, being able to pay for a car within, you know, if you can't pay, make that payment, that full payment, at least be able to pay for your car in 2.5 years. So being financially free to me and what I've experienced firsthand, yeah. And then having lost everything and then having had to come back, I absolutely understand how important it is to be able to manage debt and eliminate debt as fast as possible. And that's having the power to do it, that's having the mindset to do it, that's having the discipline to do it, and then the ability to do it by having the financial means is to be financially free. And also, having the discipline to be able to say no to the things, you know, the things that call us in this world. You know, we want to, today in my experience, I've seen so many people, we just want everything. We want it all. We want it all at one time. And to be able to have self-control also would be included in that mindset of and the ability of being financially free. So that's my concept of being financially free, because I've been there, I've done that, I've lost that, I've gotten back. And to be able to own your own time, to be able to own your own time would also be included in being financially free, because your time is what makes money. If you can multiply money in a measure of time, in a measure of an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and manage your own time, you have the concept, the perspective, and the ability of being financially free.
That's good.
I hope that makes sense.
See, you messing with us already. And going out these things, all earlier you talking about mindset. You talking about we got to have a certain mindset if you want to be free. And when you said that, I'm like, okay, let this mind being you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so if
Amen.
You say
Amen.
You are a believer, you say you are a Christian, then I know with Jesus there is no lack. I know with God the Father, I think about that the Father has all the cattle on the thousand hills, so everything is at the hands and the disposal of God. And
mm-hmm.
since they're at the hand of the disposal mm-hmm. of God, then why are you walking around here broke?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I would have to say that one of the most intriguing yet most powerful statements and actions that was portrayed by Jesus is when Satan came and tempted him while he was in the wilderness and offered him everything that he didn't even own in the first place. And Jesus hadn't been, having been out there for all of that time without food, without water, okay, just out in a wilderness. And I've been in a wilderness experience, so I know exactly how it feels, at least in my experience, to be there But Christ was in this wilderness experience, and here was Satan being able to tempt the man of Christ, and Jesus didn't want it because he knew in his mind that he owned everything already. He had already come from that place of having it all, so he knew the temporary things in this earth realm couldn't even compare to what he had possessed within his own self. And so when we're able to turn away from the temptations of this world, you know, all of the things, all wanting everything, I think that is the mindset of Christ, and having the understanding that we can possess those things, being able to have the mind that Christ has. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But we have to understand that Jesus was not lusting after the things of this world at all. You know, and so I believe that we become impoverished when we become fearful like Adam and Eve, because they thought God withheld, well, at least Eve, she had to think that God had withheld something from her, because when Satan said to her at the time of temptation, surely God, he doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to have all knowledge. He doesn't want to know, you know. What was it that God had withheld from Eve? Nothing. Somewhere in her mind, fear crept in before it was manifested at, you know, when they went to high. But when we're fearful that we're not going to get something, even being adults, I believe that we start thinking we got to accumulate everything, you know. So that just goes into spending up your whole paycheck. Every time you get a paycheck, you need something, you know. And then we become just bound because we're not free enough to understand that we possess all that we need within our own spirits, within our own selves, because we are in Christ. Our lives are hidden in Christ, and in Christ there is everything. He is, I was able to preach this, he is our paradise, and there's nothing missing in paradise. But we have to have a new mind. We got to work on the mindset, and I believe that is the one and only reason that I was able to come from out of lack and go back to a place where that I have more than enough. So that's the mind that I believe that I have.
You got a deal over here, just like about to bust out of her skin. She's ready to explode, and I'm waiting for her to pick up the microphone. And I know that this, we're at 8:17, and we normally go for 30 minutes on our Thursday evening show. But good gracious, whatever. God had your way. Listen, here's my thing. Well, not my thing, but here's one of my things. And I said this the other day, and I hope that people get it. You know, most of y'all know who are watching, and if you don't, you'll get a crash course in it. But the book that God had me to write, I don't know, it seems like it's 2 years ago now. I can't remember. August 2016, if I'm not mistaken. Man, time is flying, y'all. The book had me to write is called "Don't Leave Me Like This: Inspiration to Leave a Legacy." And when I mentioned to those who weren't on earlier or didn't know what I was talking about, that Legacy Conference, which is so powerful of an event. She spoke, Mama. She spoke, and I didn't say, "Hey, you got 10 minutes." I didn't say, "Listen, we got 15 minutes." So I just sat my tail down and just let God just do what God had to do and let it come out like it came out. And one of the things that I really appreciate is this. When we're talking about poverty, when we're talking about lack, when we're talking about God's children that are truly not living the life of abundance that we could be living. And listen, I'm not talking about you being in your own rich bubble. I'm not talking about you being balling out of control and everybody else is living like hell. I'm talking about this thing is supposed to be communal. And so
she's real with
this thing. And I'm like, it's amazing how individuals will not listen to the individuals that's really being real, especially in troubling situations and times like this. It's amazing. And so we sit back. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. We were talking about how watching individuals just sitting there, just walking around. I like Walking Dead. That's one of those zombie TV shows, right? I like it, whatever. You know, I ain't no devil worship or nothing like that. And just amazing to just watch them jokers just walking around, just like just listen, Google it, y'all. Just Google it. You'll get a bigger picture. And they're just walking around like just, you know, whatever. They don't have a care in the world. But when you look at them and you're not a doggone zombie, you like them jokers. It's out of control. They really ain't living a good life. They don't know what the heck is going on. And my thing is, we've talked about so many different topics. You and I, Sister Moody, we had a show or a series dealing with poverty, I think, last year. We have to continue hammering this. And I say this to my colleagues. Pastor Bishop, good to see you, good man. I say this to my colleagues that if you can get up on Sunday morning, every Sunday, this is for these denominations and religious organizations that this fits to. But if you can get up every morning, at the end of every sermon, you can say, listen, we've got to make sure that we give an invitation to Christ. But then we live. You're preaching to folks in a place of poverty, in impoverished neighborhoods, and ran down neighborhoods, and folks are coming to your church from the projects and the trailer park. Mm-hmm. It just seems to me that those are the issues that are affecting them. And I just don't want to believe that God is not speaking to the leader of the house, and we need to be dealing with poverty. It may not come out on Sunday morning. You know, see, preach and teach what's and talk and speak, whatever God got for you on Sunday morning. But doggone it, it's six more days in a week.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you never talking about poverty? And the sad part, because we're talking about financial freedom ain't free. We'll get to that. In order to be free, you got to let something go. And so I want to be here, but here we go.
My God.
There's so many people that are financially bound, and they're bound because of religious leaders. Listen, I'm trying to be nice. How in the world, if I know the people that I'm speaking to really barely got two nickels to rub together, and I'm trying to get one of your nickels,
I'm
a freaking wolf ticket, because the Bible doesn't say nothing that you tithe your way out of debt. And y'all know we got a quote on tithe. The Bible doesn't say that. So that's what somebody's saying to get money from you to get into the church so they can continue taking care of stuff in the church and paying salaries. We know what the deal is. And God is like, when are my people going to get it? I am not advocating don't give your tithes. I'm not advocating don't give to the church. But I'm here to tell you that if you are continuously living in a state of freaking poverty, something is wrong.
Yes.
Something is wrong.
Yeah.
And let me say this. I know I'm going to ruffle some feathers with this one, but if you look at the Muslim, if you look at the Buddhist, and you see that the Muslim and the Buddhist are not financially free, then you need to be questioning what God you're serving. You need to be saying, well, doggone, I'm a Christian.
My God.
But the Buddhist ain't struggling. The Muslim is not struggling. But here I am, and we are the Christian. And why are we struggling? And we got the book. Come on, man.
Can I interject, Dr. Dunlap? Well, the Muslims,
most definitely.
They believe in practicing wanting for my brother what I want for myself. So they operate in kindness. So when they get together, they help one another. But when we get together, we don't practice taking care of one another and all of us having the same thing in common, so that the grace of God can be upon us as it was on the first church. We're too afraid to have a sense of common denominator. We are. We want to come in and we want to take and see. Or we believe in sowing, but who are we going to sow into? So we have our, not only our theology mixed up, but we have our doctrine mixed up, because it states clearly how the first church wasn't in lack. It's clearly stated. Yet when we go into a church house, we don't see that practice. We don't. If you listen, I'm okay if I get in trouble. I'm an evangelist. God called me and he ordained me as an evangelist, and no one can take anything from me. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe in money line. Sorry, I don't believe in it. If any money line we need to have, it's the common money line. The common money line is we all bringing what we have to the leaders of the church, and the leaders being responsible enough to make certain that if you're over in the project, Sister Sally, and if you're over in your, your twin home sister Sue, and Brother Richard is in his townhouse or, you know, single home, that everybody have lights and everybody has food and everybody has what we need to have. I mean, we're talking need. So when I went into a church, when the Lord sent me into a church, and that church, that the leader of the church, Bishop James McNeil Jr., my absolute hero, honestly, in the body of Christ, this man came from poverty, rose out of poverty, went into the projects. He labored himself by going out there, picking them up in the bus, on his van, bringing them to church. They were living in the project. Everybody that he had in his church just about when he first started out was from a project, on drugs, alcoholics, no jobs, on welfare, and every last one of them moved into a home that the church owned, got them training, got them jobs. They're off of drugs, off of alcohol. Why wouldn't you be on alcohol when your means are low? Why wouldn't you be on drugs when you don't have an answer to your financial problems, when you have social issues? And every last one of them, they have even risen to the top ranks of city jobs and positions. There was no lack because they all had the same thing in common. They box up food boxes and distribute it to every member in the church. No one knows what it feels like to have electric off. No one knows what it feels like to be thrown out of a house. They don't have any worry because they all bring in what they have and they bring it to the leaders of the church and they make certain that it's distributed commonly amongst everyone in that church that are members. And that's unbelievable. And the grace of God is on them. That church house is rich. I mean, it is literally rich. So, I mean, I just believe that we don't practice it. We're still in poverty because we don't practice the very thing that God showed us as the living example, that they all sold their – now, don't go there, Sister Vera. Don't go there. Maybe we don't need to sell everything we have, but they brought what they had to the church and they distributed so that no one was in need and no one was in lack. And then it says, and the grace of God was upon them. But how many houses have the grace of God on them? How many? It's unbelievable. But that, you know, you mentioned the Muslim. I have plenty of Muslim cousins, plenty, and nieces, and I tell you, they have people that are there that are literally watching over them and helping them with their children and helping them with their household and helping making certain they get to and fro the destinations that they need to get into, because that's their common practice. But yet we say we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with power of the Holy Ghost. So we have to look at the doctrine. We have to purposely operate in it, and that's here, that there is no missing it. There is no an excuse. No matter how someone treats me or mistreat me, I make certain that I, whether you like me, don't like me, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that I am operating in the doctrine that was laid before us when it comes to the church. You cannot take care of people outside of the church without first taking care of your brethren in the church. And we can't rob our brethren in the church because we want to ride around in Maybachs and we want to drive around in these big cars as the leaders, while our people underneath us are struggling, trying to appear like us and cannot live like us, so it keeps them in a cycle of poverty. And that's one more thing I want to add. I watch what I buy, what I wear into a church house. I'm not wearing my red bottom shoes in a church house where it may strike the attention of other people who cannot afford a pair of red bottom shoes. And I'm not going to wear those red bottom shoes in front of them. I'm not wearing diamond rings that I had in front of my sisters because it may influence them or cause them to want to have the things that I have. So when I go around my family, I wear what they wear, the way that it goes, because I'm not supposed to. If I'm not supposed to cause my brother to sin, who may have a drinking problem, what about a person that has a spending problem? What about a person that has a coveting problem? So I try to make certain I stay mindful of how I present myself in front of people, as well as even the agents that are in my agency who are brothers and sisters. I make certain that I spread evenly and equally amongst them as well. Whatever I have, I make certain that they have. Whatever, if they're in need, I make certain that I can at least help them meet their need. When they have shown themselves to be, you know, brothers and sisters who are stewarding God's money, you know. So we have a great responsibility over one another and how we present ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm. So let me do this. We thank everybody who is has been listening on Blog Talk Radio, and we are really about up on the time as far as our 30-minute radio show, but we are not getting off the line. So if you're on the line listening right now, you can continue to listen. We'll go as long as we can go because we're just going to continue on this line, and we're going to also continue on Facebook. I said something. I got so much I want to bring out, but goodness, we got 4 weeks on it. Let me bring Adia said, Nate, bring in. Let me in the game, Coach. Let me in the game. So Adia, you in the game? Go ahead. We're looking for the score.
Oh my gosh! First of all, good evening, everybody, and I just want to say, Vera, you have just—I know we use the slang word—gave me life. You gave me life. And I just want to talk about this because I was just sharing with my father because I think we get it wrong, you know. Sometimes in our churches we get it wrong and we want to ride on the coattails and the old manna and what grandma said and what grandpa said, but never have our own relationship with Christ. And when you were talking about just going back to the garden and what that represents is, I mean, it's just so easy and simple to say, being able to, you have the means to give yourself what you need and also to be able to share with others. I mean, just something as simple as the garden. But I really just wanted to kind of go in a little bit on what it's like to lose everything. And I don't know if people have, how many people have listened to those who are wealthy. They share the story about how they lost everything. They reached this financial status, and they had everything that you can think of with that the physical eye could see. But there came a point where there was a shift in whatever it was in their personality, their attitude, their mindset, to where they had it all, but they lost it all. And for the believers, I'm talking about believers because these are people that I have listened to and listening to you, that when they lost everything, they went back to the Creator. And the Creator began to show them and begin to walk them through the steps of how to get it, hallelujah, how to get it back, and how to do it the right way, so that when you go and teach other people, it's not built off of, you know, well, I had to talk to this person, and I was networking with this person, and I talked to this person, and I read this book. But to see how God will strategically place you in the paths of people who have your best interest at heart, that when he places his purpose and desire on you, that when you lose everything, you understand what it means, that when you gain it all back, there's a different mindset. There's a different attitude when you give. There's a different attitude, like you said, when you go into a church, that I don't go and wear certain things because I may cause my brother or my sister to feel like they have to have the same thing, but not everybody is walking in that wisdom because in the church, they're not walking in that wisdom. And I am so passionate and so on fire about seeing people's lives change that that when you lose everything, the question that I want to ask those of us that are on the line, and that when we're talking to somebody else who's struggling, do you know what it's like to lose everything? Because sometimes for some people, until you lose it all, can you only then can you have an appreciation on what it's like when you gain it back?
Yes,
and sometimes
yes.
I'm believing that people haven't lost enough. They haven't lost enough of everything to be able to say that when I got it back, I'm willing to go on the line to make sure that my brother or sister has the same thing. They haven't lost anything.
Mm.
And I don't know, people aren't honest or transparent enough. And I've been studying in Philippians about attitude. And it was talking about the attitude being our mindset and the way our inward behavior, and it's what we see displayed on the outside. And so what we see is people going through things on the inside, and so we see it manifested on the outside. But then I begin to see how the Apostle Paul, how he was transparent with the people.
Yeah.
We talked about this some shows ago, Nate.
Yeah.
We talked about, you know, how much do our leaders share with people? Well, I'm here just to say what my Bible says. Was that Paul was transparent. When he was in prison, they knew that he was struggling. He shared his struggles with them. If you read in Philippians chapter 1, he shared the struggles. He also knew the struggles that the Philippians were going through so he could relate to them. He wasn't trying to hide nothing, but then want to ask somebody, can you help me get this plane?
Yeah.
Can you help me put a doorknob on the church? The people were willing to give because they had a leader who was willing to be transparent, because at the end of the day, it was always about God.
Amen.
It was always about God. And so when we make it all about God, we can sit at the table every Thursday or live it 7 days a week and be transparent about where we are, because we realize it's not about us. How many of us are willing to say, I lost a car?
I lost
my house. I almost lost my house.
Ooh. Amen.
My lights got cut off.
Yes.
And to share that with people to where they can, not because we're trying to necessarily relate with them, but we want people to know that, guess what? I ain't always had it together. And that's what I see when I read Philippians about an apostle who says, I'm speaking to you, I'm writing a letter to you from prison. Not that he had gotten out of prison. He was still in prison. But yet we want people to be free, and we're not willing to be transparent to tell people that, guess what, I'm not quite free in this area of my own life.
Amen.
And so when you talk about losing everything, to lose everything, it hurts.
Yes.
When you going through, you still going through the loss of everything, it's a place of darkness that some people wouldn't even understand where you are even mentally. And so all I want to say is that I thank you so much for just sharing that, because sometimes people don't understand the depth and the breadth of what it means to lose everything, what it means to walk out in your driveway and your car's not there. What it means that somebody has to write a check for you to get your check, your account out of the negative.
Yes.
That when you get home after you don't work 8-9 hours a day and you flip the switch and your lights ain't cut, it don't cut on.
Yes, God.
And so in order to be free, there has to be a level of transparency.
Amen.
Not to the point that we're trying to get people to feel sorry for us, but it is a point of strength. It is a point of encouragement. It is a point to say, I understand where you're at.
Yes, amen.
And that's all
amen.
I wanted to say.
Amen. That's
amen.
Powerful.
That's good.
Dr. Dunlap, this show is hot tonight.
I'm about to do something. We already let the blog talk in, and so now I'm about to let Facebook in. And if those who are dedicated to this freedom cause that we're bringing upon, or this movement, then if you stay on the line, then you'll catch the rest of it. And so I'm ending on Facebook right now. God bless y'all, but we're going to continue this conversation. So Facebook, listen, y'all need to put some questions out there, right? Y'all need to talk. Y'all need to communicate and join back next week at 8 p.m. on the PRF table. And tomorrow, Kimberly is going into another episode or another series at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Kimberly, your health is your wealth. So I'm signing off on Facebook, and I'm picking this conversation back up because we're about to go a little bit deeper on Blog Talk Radio. So hopefully next week you know where to turn in. See? All right, so listen. So here's where we at. Listen, I know nobody's going or whatever on the line, but here's what I want to throw out here to us. You mentioned the thing that you mentioned was about the mindset. And so if we had to say anything, then you see, that's why a lot of times it's best for people to just hold on. Because, see, some folks will dip in and dip out, and you never know what they're actually going to miss until you've actually missed it. And so, we don't do Facebook Live on PRF Table all the time. So for those who are watching us on Facebook Live, it was convenient. Oh, I'm on my phone. It happens to pop up. But we advertise the PRF Table every doggone week. Think about it. So it's best for you to come to where you can get whatever you can get from those individuals who are doing this. And so one of the things that I want to say is if we had to put out anything to anybody for tonight, when we say that financial freedom ain't free, the thing that I heard in you, Adia, and also in you, Vera, was about mindset. And so for those who are not financially free, and you know you're not financially free, then how about go to the scriptures? Go
Amen.
To that text. Let your mind be in you, which is also Christ Jesus. Go to where Adia said, if she wants to give a scripture, we'll post it later. Go to what Adia was speaking out of Ephesians 1, I think she said, or Philippians 1. Let's go there and meditate on those words.
Yeah.
Meditate on this, because as a matter of fact, you can go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, right? Don't conform to the world, but be transformed in your mind, right? So, and I remember that God said to Joshua, right, coming as he was leading the children of Israel into the promised land, he said, meditate on this word day and night. And so for anybody who desires to be financially free, then there's some steps along the way that we got to make. And it's not something that just happens overnight. And so if you put into context, if you put into your mind, first of all, you know what? I'm going to meditate on these freedom scriptures. See, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We ain't got to write a brand new book on being financially free. If God give it, we'll write it. But we ain't got to do all that. We have the resources right there. And it just takes sometimes individuals to bring those out. And that's what we do at PRF. We're bringing and illuminating the scripture and the other revelations that God has given to us. And watch this. I'm going to paint a little quick picture, because you started in the garden, Vera. You talked about the Garden of Eden. You said, and so when I think about the garden, you said, listen, they handled problems. They weren't in bondage. None of that was going on. They walked with God in the cool of the day.
Jesus.
They were so close to God that they didn't have to worry about a whole bunch of stuff. And it was only two of them. Okay, that's another story.
Yeah.
So then we understand what happened with the fall of man. But then something happened. Something happened called Christ. And so we stand in the pulpit as ministers and pastors and evangelists, and we tell people that God sent Jesus to reconcile mankind back to him being God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so I'm reconciled back to God, then that means I'm just like where Adam was at the cool of the day. Okay, but hold on, Dr. Dunlap, that don't make sense, because we got all this and we got all that and I got to work and that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. We got stuff to do. But I'm still in relationship with God enough that I say, hold on, Daddy, as some people say, Papa, as some people say, Abba, as some people say, Father, as some people say, you got all of this at your hand. You got all of this at your disposal. Something's not right.
Yes.
Something's not right when I know all that you have.
My
right?
God.
So since you have it, right, I shouldn't be in financial bondage because you have it. Now, we got to understand something about bondage. When the children of Israel, I love this. Y'all got me going. So in the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, one of the things that God told Moses, he said, "Listen, I want you to make sure that when you leave, let me tell you what's going to happen. These Egyptians, they're going to give you stuff to take on your journey."
Yeah.
And so then, when you go and you read the account and just read Exodus 12, somebody just make a note of. But when you read Exodus 12, one of the key things in Exodus 12 was what Moses had told to the Israelites about what the Egyptians were going to do. He said, "Listen, Moses told them that God said, ask the Egyptians for their stuff. Ask the Egyptians for their silver. Ask them for their gold. Ask them for their different types of clothing." And guess what? When Pharaoh came back and said, "Y'all jokers, get the heck up out of here," guess what they did? So listen. So I'm painting a picture. They had what they had. He said, "Take y'all, you get out of here, and you take all your stuff with you." So when they left out of bondage, they didn't leave out of bondage broke. That's the first thing. Well, we know that that's not the case for everybody right now. We got some other work to do. I get it. But you know the other thing was, they went to their oppressor and got from their oppressor for their journey. See, when you understand, see, that's why folks need to call on the line, because I've seen a whole bunch of people logging off and they missing this. God, you can't take the scripture and say he'll make your enemy your footstool. These cats was in bondage. We talking about slavery. None of us on this line, none of us at the table tonight, none of us understand what that felt like, because we ain't had to physically do it. But that had to be kind of really bad, to be living in that state. Physical bondage, not mental, not economical, physical bondage, in addition to everything else, right, which economic played a part in that. So, they left out with more than enough. And so, and this is why maybe God is bringing this concept, this movement, this thought for us for this month. Because I know, Mama, I know, Vera,
yes.
I know it. That the thing that God is saying in this season, we got to keep saying it over and over. Listen, go ahead. I need you to freaking get prepared and get positioned. Because if you don't get prepared and you don't get positioned, then you ain't going to have nothing more than what you already have. So I was about to mention earlier about Proverbs 13:22. In Proverbs 13:22, if you've been to a legacy conference, you've heard me say it over and over and over. A good man or good woman leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So think about this. If you want to be financially free, maybe the start is putting something in place for your children's children.
Amen.
Maybe that's a start, is to put something in place. So that means you contact Vera Moody, who's going to put her contact information on Facebook. You contact her and say, "Listen, I don't got my stuff together." Somebody contacted me the other day, and they said, "Dr. Dunlap, they want me to speak and do something a couple months from now." And they said, when I got your books, she said, "Listen, I need you to bring your books, need you to speak at this event." And she said, "When I read your book, I'm telling you, I know that it's powerful, because I went out and got insurance right after I read your book, because I ain't had nothing for me and my children."
See, the
whole thing is, if you want to be free, you had to put some action with it. We got to show, not just us, but collectively, we have to show God that we desire to be free.
And I'll
show this. A good man leaves inheritance for his children's children, right? So think about the children of Israel. Think about how they were able to go to their oppressor and say, "Hey, will y'all give us some gold? Will y'all give us some silver?" They ain't had to steal it from them. And God set it up already. All they had to do was open up their doggone mouth and do what God said through Moses back in Exodus chapter 3. When they got to Exodus 12, all they had to do was open their mouth, and they got it. So this thing ain't about claiming. Because think about this. Once they said, give me, you know, we want some gold, want some silver, want some clothes. Once they said it, they had to be prepared to take it. So watch this. Can you imagine 1,000 men? Can you imagine all the gold and silver and clothing that the Egyptians gave to 600,000 freaking people?
Yes, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, can you imagine them saying, we ain't got no way to carry this. What are we going to do with all of this? Because we don't even know where the heck we going. We ain't never been to Canaan. See, that's that mindset. See, not being able to see it will mess up a person's mind, and then they'll never get it. So we have to do a better job at dealing with the mindset. Okay, you want to be financially free? What you going to do? I said this to our interns today. I said, okay, listen, how long is it going to take you to do this to one? Then I said to the other one, how long is it going to take you to do this? And they, okay, if I get today and tomorrow, and I said, okay, then line out, give me your program. How you going to do it? Tell me what you going to do. Boom, 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 boom. And then I said, now, you ain't got tomorrow. You got today. Now what you going to do? You want 2 days to get these assignments done. You ain't got but a day. What you going to do? And God is sitting up there. You know, I say up there, but, you know, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But God is sitting saying, look, y'all keep crying about the poverty. Y'all keep talking about the poverty. You keep talking about the president. You keep talking about Congress. It ain't them.
Yeah.
It's you.
Yes.
And I'm going to be quiet after this because, you know, everybody done went on for like 5 minutes because you just roll with it. So
you're doing good, Dr. Dunlap.
And leave
really
an inheritance for his children's children. That's not the whole verse, y'all. The rest of the verse says, in the wealth of the wicked, it's stored up for the righteous.
Yes.
Think about what I said about Egypt. Think about what I said. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If it's stored up, you can't get to it. Not readily available. People got stuff stored up in safety deposit boxes. Try going to get those stuff out your safety deposit box at 2 a.m. You can't get it. You got to wait and go bank over stuff. So try to, listen, let it be snowing right now. And if you got a shed in the backyard and it's like 4 feet, it's going to take a little something to get into your shed. So when something is stored up, it's not readily accessible. A 401k is not readily accessible. A TSP is not readily accessible. Your money in your insurance policy that you get off of that is not readily accessible, right? There's a reason why it was stored up. And the beauty of it is he said the wealth of the wicked is stored up. He didn't say ours is stored up. He said the wealth of the wicked is stored up. So cut out. And stored up, and I'm gonna end on this. This is me stopping myself. The reason why the wealth of the wicked is stored up, it says in the text, it's stored up for the righteous.
Amen.
And therefore, if it's stored up for the righteous, you got to know the righteous ain't got it yet.
So it's righteous. Amen.
Then you got to be asking the question: why the heck don't I have it right now? I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I know the Lord Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe my Savior reigns. And I consider myself to be among the righteous. But why in the world don't I feel like I'm the righteous? Why in the world is the wealth being stored up there where God is not releasing it to me? Why is he not releasing it to West Oak Lane, Philadelphia? Why is he not releasing it into XYZ household? Why is he not releasing it into somebody's church? Because y'all jokers ain't ready for it yet. And so until it's ready, and now here's what you got to understand about God. I know I said I'm going to be quiet after this. Here's what you got to know about God. Think about Moses. Moses, right? Think about, let me back up. God created mankind in his image and after their likeness, right? I know this is going to mess up somebody's theology a little bit. Created him in his image and after their likeness, right? And then he created mankind, right, in their image and after their likeness. And so we know a guy by the name of Moses who was a great leader, right? But Moses was trying to do a little bit too much by himself. And so his arms got tired when Joshua was out there in battle. And every time Moses lifted up his rod, lifted up his staff, they were winning. When his arms got tired and his arms started coming down, then they started getting their heads crushed. And it took two individuals, Aaron and one named Hur, one on the right side, one on the left. The first thing they did was they sat Moses on a rock, and then together they lifted up his hands. See, people get tired. And so if the wealth of the wicked is stored up, I'm not implying I'm not implying at all that God gets tired like man, but God does get tired of our mess. And so, therefore, let the doggone water cricket stay stored up. But after a while, he's going to release it. It may not be stored. It's stored up for the righteous, but you got to know that if you don't get yourself together as the righteousness of God, why in the heck would God go ahead and get it back? Because he stored it up.
Amen.
That means it was there.
Yeah.
He allowed them to have it in the first place. He can make sure they get it back again, and I'm done.
My God, absolutely.
My God, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Holy Spirit flowing. Amen. God have your way. Hallelujah.
I'm holding on to some of it for between now and next week, next Thursday, or to come out before then. I'm done for the night. So, Mama, if you got some comments, you run with it. Whoever else got comments after that, and then we're going to shut this one down.
All I have to say is that it's just good when we let the Holy Spirit have his way. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah. Amen.
I am. My cup is just running over. You know, I tell people, I talk a lot by nature. I think it's in the Dunlap family. But I also listen, and I'm telling you, and one of the things that I've learned is, one, listening, but also, two, taking notes so that you can go back to what someone else said that that really just touched you in a place that had they not said it, you may have continued in this and on this path. And so I mean, when I tell you, I am just in an overflow from the word that I know came from your hearts. Man, it's like Campbell's soup. It's just good. And so I really just thank y'all so much. And I like the title, Financial Freedom Ain't Free. You know, you got to work that thing out. You got to walk it out. And if you've ever been there, if you are there now, you got to know that there is a way. There is a way out. And so that's my words of encouragement for everybody, because like Dr. Dunlap said, sometimes it can come off, you know, very strong and hard. But I tell you, you are listening to people who are very passionate about what we believe in. We are not just passionate about what we believe in, but because we've seen God do it. And when you do the work, because God is not coming from heaven, just want to put that out there. But when you do the work, he will send the people. He will send them your way to help you, to be that buffer when you're ready to give up, when the truth really begins to sting and burn and it hurts. He will send people to keep you going, to let you know that it's going to be all right. And when you get to the end of it, I'm telling you, when you make it through and you get to the other side, the testimony that you will have at the end of the day will be a blessing, and it will inspire people to where you can speak with conviction and say, I got some red bottoms, you know, but I know the place and the time of where to wear them. You know, when you can speak with transparency and not just speak it, but live it, I'm telling you, there's freedom just in that alone. And so I just thank you. My cup is just overflowing. It really is.
My God, amen, amen. I just wanted to add tonight that the financial freedom ain't free, and what it costs is really self. When I had everything, I mean, literally, we're talking. I was just quite 30. A quick testimony I could share with Dr. Dunlap is that my husband and I owned, husband at the time, I should say, owned property. We bought property. I'm talking about the equity in the property was so massive. So we bought property that had a lot of equity for a little money, and then all of them were positioned in the right area. And the reason why is because God led my life, which led my thoughts, which led the wisdom, which led my actions. So everything was positioned properly and in the places that they were needed to be. So they appreciated quickly. By the time we were 30, we had $1 million worth of property. We had over $15,000-$20,000 a month coming in, and I was meaning like I worked with my dad picking up the phone, that type of thing. I had children, so I owned my own time. We just had money coming in. We owned all of these properties. Our properties were able to be paid off in a measure of like 5 to 7 years, 10 at the max, the investment properties, lots of money in them. And then there was always a river God used to bring us extra cash. This is the point. The Lord said to me one day, as I was sitting in comfort, he said, I didn't die for any of that stuff. I died for people. He said, I died for souls. And he let me know, you're going to lose your things because my souls mean more to me than what you have. He said, than your things. And I literally dropped my mouth and begged the Lord not to take the things. He said, no, you had your time with that. Now you have to go about my souls. So, in the wilderness experience, we didn't lose everything in a matter of a moment. It took about 5 years to lose everything. It wasn't so much that I had a wrong attitude. I did not have the doctrines truly mastered in my life. So, yes, I shared. Yes, we shared. I don't want to give my husband's testimony at the time, but he doesn't mind. But his mind definitely wasn't strong enough to have those possessions because it was going to the wicked. But nonetheless, it took about 5 years to lose. Okay, yeah, because with money comes women, comes coke, comes parties, comes sex, comes everything. And I was left to decide, me and the children, why all of that came, and it comes, literally. I'm telling you, it's like a glamour that it comes over you. And people know you have money, and they can see that you have money. You know, they look at your textile and see, your coats are made of this, and it's appealing. But nonetheless, it took about 5 years. But within those 5 years, I truly learned what it meant to love a soul more than I love a thing. And see, people aren't willing to split their bread in half. They're not. Came and died for a world that didn't love them, but we are not prepared to die for our own brother and sister. We're not, because if it means me giving you my check because your lights are going to go off, I promise you your lights are going to go off because I ain't giving you my check. And that's the mentality that many people have in a church that say they love a God who gave his only begotten son, yet they won't even give their last for their own brother and sister. And I know what it means. I know what it means to think of someone higher than myself. So what I lost was I lost me. And I'm so mindful of God's people and how important they are to him. And he allowed for me to grasp that understanding. Now, I'm not a fool. I had to learn. I'm not going to give to you when you don't understand the power and the principles of stewardship, because there's a responsibility to have wealth. Your wealth is not meant for you to just go out and grab the car you want. I have to ask God, can I buy this car? Can I buy this? Can I buy that? Because I want my ways and my purchases to please him, because I know that I came here with nothing. I'm not going to leave here with nothing, and I'm only a manager and a steward over that which I possess. I desire to go out and spend my money however I please, yet he's being God to Sister Beth over here, and he needs for me to take her $1,000, but I went out on a $1,000 shopping spree. That means that the Lord is not Lord over my life, but I am Lord over my life, so I had to lose myself. That's what I lost in that wilderness, is myself. And that's where God trusted financial freedom to return back to me, because I gave up the things of this world freely. When the enemy came to me and said, serve me, I said, I will die first before I serve you, because I'm not here to collect things and possessions so that I can brag and boast of what I have. But I make certain that I am I'm aware that God wants me to help this person, to help that person, that his covenant can be established in the earth. And I believe many righteous people will not ever possess the financial freedom of God because we go straight to an auto sales store. We'll go straight downtown to Jewelers Row. We do not have our brothers and sisters on our mind first. And Christ came while we were yet sinners. And even when he was in the wilderness, it wasn't even about himself. He had a task. He had something to finish. So when he was able to say it was finished, he knew it was finished. And he returned back to wealth. He returned back to a great place. And we returned back to dust. And what are we going to take with us? Everything that we sold into someone, that it went into their faith, that it manifested something in the earth, in the spiritual realm. When we return there, what will be over there on the other side? Because the red bottoms are not going to go with us. They're not. They're not going with us. So that's why I want to share is that the importance of understanding why we have wealth. It's not to, we had all these houses. I wanted to buy a mansion, literally buy a mansion, make something of it, make it a profit. But I can tell you, with money comes greed. It comes power. There's greed. I mean, people see you differently. And now I used to get excited every time I got a $10,000 check, $20,000 check, go to closing, $50,000 check. And now when money comes in, it doesn't even make me blink. It doesn't make me blink. And I'm not boasting. I'm saying it's nothing. It's nothing. It's a tool to empower. It's not, it says you're building a bigger barn just to store something in it, and your soul is required of you. I'm going to leave it with this. I'll never forget someone accepted an offering of $30. We had an offering, and they got $30. And they were so ungrateful. I looked at that person, I said, I will never, and I meant this, I will never give them another dime. They were a leader, and they made fun of an offering of $30. You know, $30 to me is like a million. People give me a dollar, I'm excited. People give me a penny, a dime, I am happy. Because not only did the Lord teach me that, but our bishop established that in us. We shout over $5 discount, $2 discount, because the Lord availed that to us. But they laughed over, they were so ungrateful over that $30. I said, I will never, and I meant it, I will never give that to them again. That came from the people of God. And you collected $30 and you made a joke of it? Never again. And I don't sow into that. I will not refuse. So I say people are more important. And that's what I lost. I lost my own desire to fulfill my own lust, my own thirst, my own wound, the desire of my wound, the appetite of the wound, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That doesn't precede me. What precedes me is the will of God, and that if my brother or sister are in need, that I have access to something that I can prove to them that the God that they cry out to is real, because he touched the heart of someone and they heard their cry and they answered, and so that their faith will not fail them in the time of testing. That's all I have to add.
Amen.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you, as you were speaking, this is what the Lord dropped on me. The title is still the same for next week and the rest of the Thursdays in this month, Financial Freedom Ain't Free. But this subtopic, if you will, for next week is you'll be free when your community is free.
Amen.
And this may be a sermon one day, but I know it's for next week. And the three points that we're going to deal with, and those who listen to this show, before next week, we'll get them, because we just don't put it out there. You know, it's not something that just flows like that. But I'm led to do it. There's three things that we're going to touch on. First thing is we're going to touch on who's your community. Again, you'll be free when your community's free. Who's your community? That's question number one. Who's your neighbor? That's question number two. And who's your family? That's question number three. We're going to hit it and roll with it. But what I want to do is talk about those before we get to the table next week. It's kind of like when you're working on doctoral work. You don't come there to learn.
Okay.
You come there to talk about what you already had to go through and all the books you had to read from the last 6 months when you got together. So I'm hoping to spark some conversation and some dialogue between now and next week on who's your community, who's your neighbor, and who's your family. And mm-hmm. under the umbrella of you'll be free when your community is free. That's a powerful thing because when we understand, when we understand and more people understand and more people hear it and it continues to be something that is constantly said over and over and over, just like at the end of a sermon on Sunday, you need Jesus. Yeah, we need Jesus. And in that, we still need to know that you'll be free when your community is free. So if your community ain't free, then you ain't free.
And I
can tell you, so many people like to quote Paul. Well, let's quote Paul then. Paul said, when you're doing well, when things are good for you, we rejoice with you. But Paul also said, but when you ain't, when I'm going to put it in Dunlap language, when life sucks, when the stuff done hit the fan, and you feeling some kind of way, then I'm feeling some kind of way too because life sucks for you. Y'all go read 1 Corinthians 12. I'm gonna try to get some of this put out there, but that's where we're gonna be next week because this. So, Sister Moody, Mama, Adia, thank y'all for being on the PRF table. We have not had an hour long show in a long time. I don't care. We get 2 hours a day, and this is not the norm. But there's a need to not be the norm because the norm continues to say, you keep bringing it into the storehouse, which ain't even a storehouse, it's the church. The church and the storehouse, two different things, but you keep bringing it into the church. That's why it ain't not in the storehouse because it keep going into the church. But you keep bringing it in here. And okay. I'm done.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. We will continue. I'm gonna make sure that I start this conversation off on Facebook, on the PRF Institute Facebook page, not on mine. But I'll be tagged in it. I'll tag Mama in it. I'll tag you in it. I'm gonna put this conversation going before this weekend is out because we need to be talking about this now because Sunday gonna be here and somebody gonna do some more crazy stuff like going up to the altar talking about I'm going to keep bringing it to the altar. Lord looking at folks like, okay, what's wrong with you? Put the PRF table in your view. I don't put Crown Financial in your view. I don't put the financial piece in your view. I don't put Vera Moody in your view. I don't put Dr. Dunlap in your view. And folk are sitting there with blinders. And they're waiting for Jesus to come and spit on the ground and put some mud on their eyes and open up their eyes. Like, you ain't going to see anyway because you don't need to be seeing right now. All you got to do is follow. See, there's a, there you go. All right, y'all. We will talk. Wonderful show tonight. I'm still getting messages.
Yes,
out of folks don't even.
Yes.
So
yes.
Y'all enjoy the evening, and if y'all can tune in to Kimberly's show, Your Health Is Your Wealth. Again, she'll be on tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She's doing some amazing things on that show. There's a very good lineup of guests that she has going on throughout the rest of the year. And so we want people to get involved and really support PRF all around because it's not just about the Thursday show. It's also about the Friday show. So when you meet up with Kim on tomorrow, she's going to be talking about forming healthy eating habits. We just finished with Independence Day, folks, talking about being free and independent. But in bondage to food and bondage to eating. So I'm glad everybody, hopefully they slow enough and slow enough. They'll sit down and listen to forming healthy eating habits because the truth of the matter is that show is designed by God. Your health is your wealth. And so if you don't take care of your health, I do some overindulging. You know, when I get on them little expensive little dark chocolate, German cookies, you know, I eat all six of them bad boys. I know it's me, but I'm not. So
doggone week, you know. But I, when I get them, I'm getting them. I'm going in. So, you know, start eating them once, twice, three times a week, and that's a problem. So we got to form healthy eating habits. The only way you form healthy eating habits is to listen to somebody, question you, and say, let me see how you are in this. How much sodium is in your mm-hmm. diet? Do you eat the pot pie, which is 1,000 doggone calories, and it's 700 or 900 milligrams of sodium? Well, you're not. That's not a healthy eating habit. So what we're doing is we got to form a healthy eating habit. Forget everything else. All we got to do is healthy, and then prayerfully, that will be a very big contributor to you living a long and prosperous life and not having to be up under the doctor's care and all this kind of stuff,
Amen.
And then wondering there's no money there because it's going to so many of the medical bills.
Amen.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
All right. So that's where she's at, forming healthy eating habits. We'll be back next week here on the PRF table at Thursday, 8 p.m. God bless y'all. We'll see you then. Peace.
God bless. Good night.
God bless.